Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion. Join in the discussion each and every day. We enjoy your questions and the opportunity to give answers and responses. The program each and every day, this broadcast, is designed around you, our listener. It has the format allowing you to call in, and as some have put it, to put in your 2 cents worth. We'd love to hear from you. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We're going to have a brief monologue. After the monologue today, we're going to introduce a candidate that's running for District 13 for the Florida House. And so we pray that you'll stay tuned, join in the dialogue and discussion, call in asking questions to the candidate, and to see how God responds in our hearts and lives with our responsibility. We're talking about today political prisoners. Political prisoners. You realize that's what's taking place in relationship to the January 6th committee that's meeting now. They're putting on a show. In fact, we're spending millions and millions and millions, and may I say again, millions of dollars of taxpayer money to orchestrate a movie, if you will, a documentary, if you'd like, of the January the 6th committee. It's designed for one purpose, and that is to ridicule and to, in some fashion, ensnare President Donald J. Trump and any Trump follower, any Trump devotee that is possible. And they're doing that by putting in prison. We have those in prison today, about 400, I believe the number is, or better, across America and in D.C., in the prisons today, jails today, waiting for trial. They've not been afforded a speedy trial. They've not been afforded the right of defense in relationship to the charges against them. And yet they're in prison, in jails across America. They are none less than political prisoners because they happen to be on the Capitol grounds on January the 6th. So they're blaming President Trump. It's Trump's fault. There's not one word in his speech, I've listened to it, not a word in his speech that would connote any insistence or any directive or any encouragement to break into the Capitol building. And in fact, there's over 14,000 clock hours of video footage. Every square foot of space in the Capitol complex, all under video, all under camera, and yet the Nancy Pelosi and the ones in charge of the Capitol Police, which is Nancy Pelosi, she's the chief of the Capitol Police, and she's refusing to allow all of the footage to be released. They're taking parts of the footage that fits their narrative. They're cutting and pasting, if you will. They're developing a narrative based on cutting and pasting of investigatory material and of the video footage, and we're watching political prisoners. That's not all. We're going to talk about others in this broadcast today before we introduce our guest, and then we'll talk about how it intersects with what we're talking about and the need for us to vote today. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. The scripture is clear. Jesus speaking to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, where he says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus says in John 14, 6, "I am truth." And further, he makes a declaratory statement in John 17, 17, where the Lord Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to count on, depend on, place our faith, trust, and confidence in. And the only way you find truth, basic of truth, the fundamentals of truth, is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. But we happen to live in a society today when truth is not relevant. Truth is not sought. Truth is not the focus in the January the 6th narrative. Truth was not focused in the attempts to impeach President Donald J. Trump in the past years. Truth is not sought today in relationship to the Biden administration and what is being done to undermine, tear down, and destroy our great constitutional republic. But ladies and gentlemen, it was George Orwell, the secularist, in the dystopian novel entitled 1984. He made this statement: the further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. We find that to be absolutely factual in today's society. The folks in Washington, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, AOC, and the others, they're interested in one thing: that's power, control, and forcing the citizens to submit to their autocratic, dictatorial, fascist control over the people. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to focus on truth. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that made this statement: faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my mantra. That's my challenge. That's my encouragement to you each and every day on this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment like homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer all of your questions about the residential as well as the professional landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right here in the heart of Mandarin. Tools for Time has an identifier. There's a gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag, flowing on that flagpole. To the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It is a family-friendly, oriented environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday so that you can worship with your family. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time, make your application for employment, wait for an interview, and see how God works in placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take just a moment for a brief monologue. Then we're going to introduce a very special guest today that will vivify and validate what I'm saying to you in the monologue in this broadcast today. Ladies and gentlemen, our entire political landscape, listen carefully, our entire political landscape has changed dramatically. Now, I'm still less than 100 years old, and as I have said several times on this broadcast and from the pulpit and communication with others, I have not missed a vote, local, state, and national, since I registered to vote less than 100 years ago. I believe in the election system in America. I believe in the Constitutional Republic. I believe that it is a system of governance that only God could have orchestrated in the hearts and the minds of our founding fathers, and we have been the recipients of it for all of these years. But I believe, ladies and gentlemen, the political landscape has changed dramatically in our nation. We're a two-party system, Republican and Democrat. But, ladies and gentlemen, for the most part, in years gone by, as our boys would call it in the old times, the old days, you could find both the Republicans and Democrats viewed America as a place they loved. They were concerned about we the people, defending our Bill of Rights. But I believe, ladies and gentlemen, in part, not in total, but in part, all of this changed through COVID-19. You see, COVID-19 allowed the election to be stolen from President Trump. Yes, Donald Trump won in 2020. And that's you're not supposed to say that. If you say that, you're a domestic terrorist, according to Merrick Garland with the DOJ. But I believe that it's because of COVID, that COVID was used. By the way, COVID was man-made. COVID was developed in the Wuhan, China labs at the U.S. taxpayers' expense, being carried out by Sir Anthony Fauci. And as a result of that, released on the world. And it was used in America, ladies and gentlemen, as a tool by the socialist Marxist BLM Democratic left called the Democratic Party. It was used to steal the election in 2020. Ladies and gentlemen, COVID was used for the governmental control over all of our lives by forced lockdowns, by forced mask mandates, and the deadly fake vaccination that the vaccination has killed hundreds of thousands of people in America and millions around the globe. Yes, you've not been told that by the Marxist media, but that's exactly the facts of it. But they've used what I'm using today, what I'm wanting you to understand today, is that the left, the socialist, Marxist, BLM, Democrats have used, the left have used these tools, these instruments, to undermine and tear down and destroy our Bill of Rights, and therefore to eviscerate our foundations. And Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundation be be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Ladies and gentlemen, COVID virus created in the Wuhan, China lab, and it was under the direction of Sir Anthony Fauci, that brought this about. But ladies and gentlemen, it put the fast track on the global reset that's been underway by the globalists for some decades now. It put it on the fast track. And ladies and gentlemen, these socialist, Marxist, communist, democratic parties today, it's about control of we the people. The Biden administration has surrendered our sovereignty under the guise of World Health Organization. But it's our sovereignty being surrendered to WHO, to Bill Gates, to Mark Zuckerberg, to George Soros, and others that want no borders on a global basis. The Marxist media, ladies and gentlemen, including big tech, operating as an arm of the Biden administration, are tracking, tracing, and listening to every phone call, every text message, every email, every Instagram, et cetera, et cetera. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, just to validate that, I read dozens upon dozens upon dozens of news articles as I research online each and every day. Hundreds and hundreds of news articles in a week's time. And I have a group that I usually like to send copies of those to. I found as of just as late as this morning, I found an average of between 5 and 8 of every 10 emails that I try to forward are blocked by big tech at the behest of the federal government. And if you think that's a problem now, give it 30, 60, 90 days before the election, before November of this year, and you will find that the citizens, we the people in America, will be shut out with no communication between each other to talk about the election, to talk about what is happening, to ask questions to each other, or to give suggestions about what ought to be done. We're watching that on the fast track, getting ready. But ladies and gentlemen, today we're no longer free as Americans, generally speaking. The Department of Justice, under the leadership of the U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland, all I can say is God thank you that he's not a Supreme Court justice. If the Democrats had their way, Merrick Garland would not be the DOJ today. He'd be a U.S. Supreme Court justice. God's delivered us, I believe, from that ill and for that, how would you say, that deadly individual being put on the Supreme Court. But nevertheless, Merrick Garland, along with the FBI, now calls we the people, most part, we are called domestic terrorists today. If you voted for Donald Trump, if you're white male, if you are a conservative Christian, if you question the school boards about anything they're doing with our sons and daughters and grandkids in the public school, if you refuse to bow to the COVID jabs, all of us that stand for truth and reject murder by way of abortion, ladies and gentlemen, we're considered domestic terrorists. Today, the Marxist left and the Joe Biden Democratic Party are taking political prisoners just because they are fearful of the red wave, as it is called, for November. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that should cause us all to be concerned. This is part and parcel of where we are in America today. It's not just we're headed for a recession, as several of the major financial bigwigs in Washington and other parts of the nation, New York, et cetera, they're already saying that we're in a recession, that we're looking at major inflation. And now another one is saying, this economist that I'm reading behind here says, U.S. is already descending into a recession. The World Bank just said last week that we're headed for a recession. Jamie Dimon, the head of Chase Morgan Banking Company, says that we are headed on the fast track for a recession. Another major American banking organization, Wells Fargo, I believe it was, one of the other major financial institutions just said last few days that we're headed for on the fast track for a major recession. Now, I'm saying all of that with what we have already said based on what we see taking place. So the question is, what do we do? How do we get around it? Is there a way to survive? Is there a way to come out of the pit that we have seen dug for us with the Biden administration using the DOJ and the FBI as a weapon for political enemies? You would think that when you see the economy crumbling, you would think that when you see the potential of major gas lines for gasoline and automobiles, you would think that when you see the gas prices in California now $8.99 a gallon, in Jacksonville it's already over $5, in other parts of the Southeast it's $6, you would think that an administration, regardless of how left they are, would do a course correction to bring that change about. But other than that, they're using the DOJ as a political weapon. I'm looking at a headline, Biden uses the DOJ as a weapon against all political enemies. The U.S. Department of Justice under Joe Biden is a political weapon against the Democrats' political enemies, charges popular Fox News commentator Tucker Carlson. Ladies and gentlemen, we must ask a question. What do we do? How do we respond? What must we do? Now, I'm going to introduce our guest today. Then we're going to talk about what do we do, how do we do, and we're going to get our guest to explain some of the things that we're talking about and where we stand and what we need to do. But before we get to that, I'm going to read just a brief introduction to the theme of what we're talking about today. Ryan Kelly, governor from Michigan, quote, the FBI just showed up. You read that right. The FBI sent people to my home to arrest me. This is the face of tyranny and government overreach. My name is Ryan Kelly, he says. The media and the establishment swamp have tried to pretend I don't exist, but I am not leading. I am now leading in the polls of the Republican nominee for the governor of Michigan. That's right. The governor of Michigan, a state where election fraud happened and Trump's victory was stolen, and the Biden DOJ has just arrested me. I started this campaign for a simple reason. The government's grip on the throats of the citizenry has grown so tight as to make our republic unrecognizable. When COVID lockdowns came to Michigan and the vaccination passport and the rules for thee but not for me crowd unconstitutionally locked us in our homes and closed our business and took away our rights, I stood up. I stood up, he says. And this is what happens when you stand up against tyranny in the Biden's America. There's a simple answer. We beat them. We beat them at the ballot box so badly that they can't cheat. They can't steal. We must beat them so badly that no government, no political party, no deep state operative will ever, ever, ever forget the consequences of oppressing the will of the people and attempting to steal our God-given rights. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what political tyranny is about. That's what political prisoners are about. That's what we see taking place in our nation today, is fighting not through the ballot box, through actual elections, but to undermine and destroy our constitutional republic. This is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, we need to elect people based on God's election guide that's found in the Word of God. We'll talk about that further in this broadcast, but in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, it gives God's election guide, and it talks about those that we need to put in office in the leadership role for us. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest today is a candidate for Florida House District 13, La Sierra Maslin, a conservative Christian candidate. Welcome to Let's Face the Issues, La Sierra. Delighted to have you once again on this broadcast.
Thank you so much again, Dr. Youngblood, for having me. It is always a pleasure, sir.
Well, we're delighted for you. We're thankful for your candidacy. We're praying that God will open every door that he wants open and that he will give you the wisdom to step through and to make serious changes, not if you're elected, but when you're elected, as I see it. LaSierra, would you take a few moments, introduce yourself to our guests, our listeners. Many of them may not have heard of you, may not have heard our interview before. I want you to do that so that for those that have forgotten or for those that have not tuned in and have not heard you before, they will hear clearly. Tell us something about yourself. Tell us why you're running for office.
Absolutely. So again, my name is LaSierra Maslin. I am the candidate, the only conservative candidate in District 13. I'm a wife, I'm a mother, and I'm also an independent broker. But most of all, I had a heart change. I had a heart change about 26 years ago when the Lord came into my life, and he has revolutionized my life ever since. I am running for office because I see the need for the righteous to take control and take back our authority and power. It was a no-brainer when I was sitting in my home watching the last couple of years with COVID and all such as that go on and various inconsistencies transpire in our nation. And I was thinking someone who exclaims that they're willing to do whatever needs to be done would come forth. And the Lord simply spoke, no, why not you? You're disturbed enough. Your heart is changed and is geared toward heaven. You need to get up and you need to do it. And so here I am running for state house representative, and I will be in office on November the 8th.
I am so thankful to hear you say that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to call the opponent's name, but let me say on behalf of LaSierra, she, as she stated, she is the only conservative candidate running in that district, and the opposition is one that's already seated. I just simply, LaSierra, you may not use this term, but it's a loose likes lost liberal that's in the office today. And ladies and gentlemen, if you are as I am, if you have the same mindset, the heartbeat, that as Christians, we need to support Christian candidates. If you have the same idea and mindset, ladies and gentlemen, as I do, that we need to help those that are running for office that will represent us to hold their arms up, pray for them, and to do all we can to assist them as they walk through the doors that God's opened for them. LaSierra, I know the answer, but I'm going to ask you for the benefit of our listeners. Would you say that you stand on the same issues that our governor does, Governor DeSantis, and President Donald Trump, and what they stand for? Would you say that you mirror those stances?
Yes, sir, I absolutely do. They've done tremendous work in this nation and has brought our country at that time when Trump was in office to an exceptional stance. We were respected all around the world, and at this point, we're now embarrassed. I'm very thankful for DeSantis and his willingness to completely just demolish what Biden and the administration there has tried to infiltrate in this country. I'm so thankful for the bills that he's passed, even the one as recent as the one that he has recently passed concerning the hospital and no patient being left alone. That was tremendous for me because during COVID, we all have experienced those that went in and us as a family could not go back and they were left alone to die. So I'm so thankful. I mean, he's done tremendous work passing various legislations here recently. And I'm just very thrilled, and I completely am in agreement with it.
Amen. LaSierra, let's just do something. Let's take a moment. You talked about that bill passed that would allow families to go in and visit patients. It was Senate Bill 988. Senate Bill 98, and I don't say this for any prideful means or purpose, but I had the privilege of being part of some of the terminology and the wording in that bill. And I had the privilege of communicating with our legislators and senators, both House and the Senate, and the formation of that. And I am thankful for that being law today, but it falls short of doing what needs to be done for the state of Florida and for Floridians. It still gives a caveat that the hospitals and the medical institutions can make rules and regulations and guidelines that will cause the patient's family or guest or others that's coming in to see them to have to do what the hospitals or the medical institutions say, or they still will not be able to get into the room to visit with a patient or family member. That's a caveat that was put in there by those that's in the House and the Senate that's involved in medical background for their livelihoods. And so that was placed in there that says that they can do all of these things. They need to post it on their website so the public will know what they require, and the public then can basically prepare. And let's just use an example. The medical institutions can still say that we want a mask or you can't go in to see your family member. The hospitals and the medical institutions can still say we require you to, let them use a hypothetical, we require you to wait for 2 hours before you go in and see them. Then you got only 3 minutes, you got to come out. That's hypothetical. But they can literally do that as long as they post on their website, those are the requirements. Rather than it being simply a open door that you can go in and visit your family member and be an encouragement to them. But nevertheless, that Senate Bill 988 was better than nothing, but it still did not meet the need. Some of the things that I wanted changed in it, some of the wording that I was insisting on was overridden. Naturally, I'm not a legislator, but from the outside looking in and having witnessed our 56-year-old son being tortured to death, 71 days in a hospital, two different hospitals, and yet no one could see him, even in his dying days. So I was very, very adamant that we needed to do something to protect the Floridians, at least, that that could not happen again. So my question in reciting all of that background, would you be willing to take a stand with we the people, those that have been family members that have been horribly treated as a result of COVID, would you be willing to take a stand that you would be willing to go in and have that bill, that which is now law, it was Senate Bill 988, to have Senate Bill 988, which is now law, tweaked in the future so that we'll take some of those caveats out so that we will not have to go through security guards? Most are not aware of the fact that most of our hospitals today have more security guards than many small prisons, that the security guard aspect would be taken down, that we, the people, could go in and see our relatives. And I know that's something that you may not have thought of, but would you be willing to review that and take a stand that you would stand with us on the perfection of that bill so that it hurts more than it harms?
Absolutely, Dr. Youngblood, and I saw that as well in the bill. And as we know, DeSantis is doing what he can, and that's why it's so important to have legislators in office, such as myself, that can bring about the change, so we won't have to only be chipping away at the issue, but we can nip it in the bud and resolve it right out the gate. So, yes, I would absolutely be willing to take a stand and make mention of all of these, issues, those that you've already so beautifully, eloquently explained, even the hypotheticals, which is more than likely going to be a reality.
Yes.
But yes, I would absolutely be willing to do that. Yes, sir.
I'm looking forward to your candidacy and your successful run. Since we've got about 40 seconds before the top of the hour news break, let me just tuck this in and then we'll get back to the issues. Tell our listeners how they can reach you and what they can do to assist you in your candidacy.
You can reach me at 904-413-0530. I am a grassroots candidate and I'm just needing volunteers to spend a couple of hours out of their week and assist me in knocking on doors. Please donate as well to my website, LaSierraMaslin.com.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 1 minute top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll be right back. We're interviewing today House District 13 candidate, LaSierra Maslin. We're looking forward to our further conversation. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.